is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And believing is the key, this door of forever. A baby, you where every reason honors. To now and again, it's always us against the world, against the world. When it rains down and the flood came. Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to Nailed It, brought to you by the Bahamian Contractors Association. My name is Deborah Deal, and I am flying solo. Senator Sands is on a well-deserved break. So if any of you are pilots out there and have ever learned how to fly, and you know you get to do your solo, it's kind of scary and exciting all at the same time. Because you're flying on your own, but you also don't have that person beside you in the other seat that can take the plane if something happens. So I'm flying alone today. I'm flying solo. But I do have somebody, a special guest in the studio as well, Avery Lightbourne, who's been a guest of ours before and who is a member of the Bahamian Contractors Association. He's the gentleman that you need to speak to, see, take your truck to, who sells the fiberglass rebar. It's not fiberglass steel. It's fiberglass rebar. Right. So he's going to kind of pitch hit as the co-pilot with me today.
Good evening. Good evening, Bahamas. Good evening, Debbie. Pleasure to be here as your co-pilot.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, it is. It's always nice to be here. I'm so excited that we have that we are so blessed to actually be able to do this show. And right now, I think what I'd like to do is just introduce our sponsors. So we have our sponsors are Woseley Construction, Arm Caribbean, CBS Pro Store, Art Development, which is you.
Yes.
Engineering and Technical Services, CMEX Bahamas, Stone Oak Bahamas, and Storm Frame Windows. So, yes, so there we are. We're really blessed. And these are also Bahamian. They are part of the Contractors Association as well. So, I mean, they're really giving us the support because we would not be able to do this show if we did not have that support. And we've been making such a difference. The amount of phone calls and everything that we get on a regular basis from persons that, and they've been on the radio here too, they've been in a situation or they've had something positive happen or they have questions to ask. Right. And, you know, we've really been able to make a dent in, you know, the communication.
I can tell you, it's very helpful. I have had a lot of great feedback.
Yeah.
I post it all the time on my broadcast, as you can see when you're coming up. And I think it's very educational and informative. And everybody who is a contractor in the business or home buyer going into buying their home, I think the information is priceless.
Yes, I think so. And that's the feedback that we've been getting.
Yeah.
So I thought what we'd do tonight is we would start with the fact that we are having our annual general meeting. We're having it on the 27th of November. It will be during our regular lunch, which we have at Balmoral Club.
Great food.
Yes, great food. from 12, it'll start at 12. I don't know if it'll be a little bit longer than an hour that we normally have because of the AGM. But I just want everybody to know, any of the persons that are nominating, You have to be financial to nominate, but any of those nominations need to be in tomorrow. Tomorrow is a deadline.
Right.
And then on is when we will be doing our voting. So that's kind of exciting.
It is exciting. Yeah, it's to be
been,
a part of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's been a while since that's happened. And looking forward to, you know, a new group of persons that, because we've already spoken to a number of them, us who
right.
have nominated,
right.
who have, you know, shown interest and wanted to be a part of the board so that we could actually create more things than we're just doing now with the luncheon and with this talk show.
Yeah.
So it's great to be able to have, like, you're on board.
Yep, it's a pleasure to be a part of the BCA.
Yeah.
My experience so far has been a great one.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great networking opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think some people, they may misconstrued what the BCA, well, when it was explained to me what the BCA is, I see it as a totally different thing than what it was explained to me, because people think because they are part of the BCA, they should be a part of everything that goes on when it comes to construction or whatever the BCA knows about.
Mm-hmm.
What I've experienced is it's a great platform for you to go and talk to people who are in the industry, and maybe they're the persons that pull you into whatever projects that they're dealing with. So
right.
it's not that you when you join, you automatically in a project or anything else. So,
I didn't realize people thought that.
Yeah, I was given by a number of persons when I talked about it, because this is my first time being a part of anything at this level as far as construction
right.
Is concerned, and
yeah.
I could tell you that. I don't know how many people are contractors or certified contractors, but if you want to get up to scratch and know what's going on in the industry, the BCA is the place to be.
Yeah.
So okay. I think it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it is, and we've been blessed with the persons that are part. It's growing every day,
yes.
which is amazing.
Great energy in the room every
yeah,
time.
Great it is, and like you said, if you have a new product or something. How are you going to get out to the masses so that everybody
right.
knows what you have, you know, whether it's been approved by the Ministry of Works and all that kind of stuff? The only way to actually do that is through radio, which
Absolutely.
You are also on another talk show at this same station on
yes.
Howard Grant on Wednesdays
yes.
and every day, right?
Thursday. It's every other Thursday, so
oh.
it's two Thursdays out of the month.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, the first and third Thursday.
So you have to, you know, it's a great opportunity, and
Absolutely.
It's, you know, how can we change the industry or make it better if we don't all work together? Because
yeah.
you know, in this country, we like to do silos, right?
Right.
You know, I want to do my thing. I don't want to do it with you. I want to do it separate, and then you know, by that time, everything gets so watered down
yeah.
that not enough. I think gets done.
Yeah, but yeah. I think the know-how is a big part of it. Knowing how to put the team together to actually make it valuable to a customer, that when you come to us, you're not just paying out a bunch of money to a bunch of different people.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a way where you have, I think, education on how to form a team of persons for a project. So what are the main components of it, and allow people to just, you know, come in and bid on it, and then get up to par with the knowledge of the products that you're using, so that you can explain what is a better product to the client and give them the option. So I think
right.
that's where you find those type of people at the BCA
right.
luncheons.
Yes. All right. Like to just, if we could just delve into a little bit of what's been in the news, right?
Right.
Because
a lot of news.
Oh, yeah. Last week, there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. And then this week, there's also a bunch of stuff going on. And, of course, the one that hit me the last couple of days is the report from IDB about bribes, right? That 74 point something or other percentage of businesses in the country pay bribes for government services.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And then Matt Aubrey was on this morning on Dwight Strawn's show, and he was talking about how that we are number one in the Caribbean and the South America in regards to bribes.
Right.
And we even do it before anybody asks for anything.
Pay to play.
What?
It's a cult. I think it's a culture. It's not the first time I heard it, right?
No.
It's not the first time, and it's a sad thing that you have to do that.
It shows how ingrained into our society
it is
that sad. We don't even ask. They don't even have to ask for anything. You just automatically do it.
You have to know.
Right,
you have
and
to
that's
know.
Something that I don't, it's like Matt had said, it's going to be very difficult to even try to change that. But, you know, I think if you are a new young business starting up, if you hear about things the way it's done, you just don't put yourself into that, you know?
Well, I think it was KB that came up with the song "Tip, Tip, Tip." Well, it was like, I mean that speaks to mm-hmm. a serious, deeper culture. You have to rely on your skills and own your skills mm-hmm. to show that you can actually play in the big league or in any league,
right.
Rather than have to pay for to get in. So I don't believe in that.
Right. Debbie. Well, they didn't say. They did said businesses, and I did not read the entire report, so I don't know if it broke down all the businesses. So I don't know if construction is included in it, but I'm assuming that it is, because you know, construction, of course, you know, when I first started building when dinosaurs roamed the earth, right. I used to actually pick up the inspectors because they had very few vehicles, right?
Right.
So I would pick the inspector up, take him to the job site or her to the job site. Let them do the inspection, take them back, and then they would, you know, you'd call a couple of days later to see when your report was done and that type of thing. I don't remember very seldom ever not picking them up. Actually, I remember one time we were coming back from out west, and we were just driving past the lake, and I ran out of gas, and I had the inspector with me. And it's funny now, but it was not so funny then.
Oh, gosh.
So somebody stopped and said, you know, do you need some help? And they took me to the gas station, brought me back, and I was able to get the inspector back to the Ministry of Works.
Good for you.
Yes, I was able to do that.
Yeah.
My pride was totally destroyed, but I was able to do it.
I think you found some favor there, too.
Oh, Lord. But the thing with me is that I think that, you know, in the construction industry, and I'm sure other industries are the same, but in the construction industry, you want to make sure that your inspection is actually done.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
The idea of paying for the inspection and not even being there when it's being done, what happens if something happens to the house?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because there's a disclaimer inspection form years ago for the Ministry of Works. How can you guarantee that? So my concern with construction is because when we're building something, people's lives are going to be living
impacted.
In those houses,
yes.
in those
yes.
buildings.
Yes.
You need to make sure that everything is good. So that's one of those things that really concerns me about making sure that if that's happening, not let it happen. But
it's,
you know what I think
funny.
Will fix it?
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but when I had licensed my truck this year because everything was online, it was a breeze.
Right.
I went online. I did it. Sent them all the documents. I
right.
paid everything. I went and stood in line. I got my piece of paper. And then the same thing with my driver's license. I
right.
went online. I answered all the questions. I sent them, you know, the money that they wanted.
Yeah.
They sent me an email saying 2 days, 3 days, we'll get in touch with you.
Right.
Within a day, they sent me an email saying your thing is ready. Pick it up at the post office at the mall.
Yeah.
Or at they have a booth there at the mall, right?
Right.
Pick it
right.
up. I didn't have to see any people.
Absolutely.
It eliminated all those steps where I could have, if required, hand money to somebody.
Right.
So I think as long as we
That's
continue doing that,
it.
And even if we could even make an application for an inspection online and do all of that stuff online and then just meet the inspector on site, that may also be something that might help.
I'll elaborate on a little bit of that there, because make these things more efficient. We're saturated in this country, but I don't think NASA's overpopulated. It's just underdeveloped for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I go up in the plane and I see a lot of bush and everything else, right? So I went like,
we need the bush. That's our aquifer.
I know Debbie, and I'm not even going there with you, right? but it's funny. I spoke with our inspector yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and what she said is that when I go to
Selena,
a job,
Selena Curry.
I don't know.
Oh, it doesn't
I
matter.
I can't remember. But she's an inspector.
Yeah.
In any event, a senior inspector, and she's using some FRP. Thanks. If that's Selena, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
But she said what she does when she goes on a job. She never tries to embarrass the person that is doing the work,
mm-hmm.
right? And she goes there, and if they're doing something wrong,
mm-hmm.
she pulls the person who's the lead contractor on the mm-hmm. job, and mm-hmm. she says to them, look, this
mm-hmm.
right here,
mm-hmm.
you need to look at this.
Right.
This right here, you need to look at that.
But that's the way it should be.
Right. And that, mm-hmm. and so I'm mm-hmm. saying that if the inspectors are more helpful, I guess, to
mm-hmm.
these guys, instead
mm-hmm.
of showing some of them probably had showed up on the job that they don't have the qualifications, and then you look at them losing their workers. And so it's how you present that, I think, mm-hmm. will help to mitigate some of that pain. Because if you go to somebody and you show them how to do it, then there's less chance they're not confident, less chance that they're not confident and feel like, hey, you have to put in your pocket to say, yeah, get this through for me. So it's,
you know,
it's a couple
these,
of different ways.
In all these years, I have never had an issue at all with any of the inspectors. They've always been up and above board, courteous, polite. You know, there's never ever been a challenge at all, which is amazing,
right,
and
right,
great.
Right.
And it makes it easier for you to go in to them and speak if you have an issue with the job that you're doing, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember doing a job in Eastwood, again, also when dinosaurs roamed the earth. And the
right.
inspector was coming to meet me to see the steel. And when I got there, the entire south west corner had fallen in, not the steel,
oh, wow.
the ground had fallen in, like
wow.
the yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So at that time, Charlie Wright was the head building control, and
right.
I just went in to him and I said, you have to help me. What do I do? I've never seen this before.
Right.
You know, what's the best thing to do? And he actually guided me, you know, engineer, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And about a week later, we were able to do the inspection and the job went on. But because we had a good rapport,
right.
I was able to go in there and not feel uncomfortable. And I knew that he was going to guide me in the right direction.
Listen.
And that's amazing. I love it.
I think that is exactly to the core of what mm-hmm. I'm saying. When you are on the job and you have the inspectors come through and you create that rapport mm-hmm. with an inspector
yeah.
and they know that you're trying to learn, right? You don't be that person who is the
knows
smartest person in the room all
right.
the time. Like
yeah.
you ask questions, am yeah. I doing this right? But
yeah.
I think it's intimidating for anybody on a job who's the senior person on a job when they don't know to actually be vulnerable to the people who are working for them. And that's something that we have to get past because
yeah.
everybody has to learn. Even if they
right.
do it on the side, if you're the lead guy
mm-hmm.
on the scene, you have to be able to show them too.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't know, I ask. And
right.
it's a lesson that they will learn. Like,
right.
okay, boss, well, I'm not sure about this. Instead
mm-hmm.
of behind the curtains, they're
right.
trying to do something and they mess up
yeah.
and they're afraid to come tell you them all day. So,
right.
so there's different ways to
it's
mitigate.
Also, you know, you have to make sure that the person actually can read a plan. That's another issue.
Well,
that's going to lead me into topic number two.
well, I can tell you that I have had a bunch of plans come into me. For me
mm-hmm.
to read for Reebok,
right?
And I always try to find a QS or a contractor that knows how to read. I mean, I think they are the best people who are able to read the plan and give you all of the information that you need off that plan. They should a contractor should have that tool
mm-hmm.
or that person in their staff,
right.
who they can call on to do that, because you could mess up bad.
Right.
You could mess
well,
up badly.
I mean, that's another one of the reasons that we are working on getting the Contractors Construction Act, which from 2016, which has already been passed. Now we're waiting on the government to actually create the board. We've given our representatives that we would like to see on the board. Once that is done and everybody's grandfathered in, we could then start training and teaching
yes.
construction
yeah.
the
yeah.
right ways, how to read a plan. I mean, even it's just starting from the basics, working your way up.
Right.
And those are things that are lacking right now
mm-hmm.
because you can take a course, but unless the government is going to give you a certification saying that you're a licensed contractor, it's not going to do anything. It's just a piece of
right.
paper. I mean,
right.
I could write you a whole bunch of piece of paper. You'd look so smart.
Right.
But it's not doesn't mean anything because
right.
all of our inspections and everything, building permits right down to occupancy, come from the government. So the actual license has to come from the government.
Right.
Just like engineers, architects,
right.
you know, lawyers,
mm-hmm.
all everybody,
yeah.
you know.
Some level of training.
Yeah.
Base point to start from.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying, the contractors that don't know are intimidated, right? Even with reading a plan. For
mm-hmm.
for instance, I had four walls. So
mm-hmm.
four walls, it's a square.
Mm-hmm.
Or a rectangle, right? Mm-hmm. And they gave it to me and said, I need to take off for the steel on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I'll do the rebar takeoff.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is a pretty small one. And so he said, yeah, I was doing those for 15, 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
15, 20 years, this is square. And he said, I was doing it for 15, 20 years. I did the I did the takeoff based on my knowledge. And if anything is beyond me, I have persons I can call and consult with. Take a look at it. Let me know if I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to him and he sent it back. Could you break this down? I need the foundation, then I need the columns, then I need the belt. And I was like, okay, he's been doing this for 15 years. I gave him the full takeoff. I thought he would have been able to take it off from there. But he agitated, and I think he waited.
Well, I wouldn't know either. You would have to break it down for me as well.
Right.
Because when you're purchasing it, you would only purchase your foundation.
Right.
And then you get your steel for your floor and your columns.
Right.
And then you'd get your belt beams, right?
Right. Well,
and if there's two belt beams, then, you know.
That is true. Mm-hmm. And I try to do that with most of the clients that come in to ask for those takeoffs. Mm-hmm. I want you to take this off. Some of the structures are very beyond what I can even try to attempt to do. And I have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also a cost that I have to make sure that the client knows. And most of the clients pay for that because the client really don't want to pay for it. You don't want them to walk out the door,
for
a couple of dollars. So
and you want to make sure that their house doesn't break apart with rust.
Absolutely do.
So I
try to get the professionals who know. And I think every contractor should make an effort to find.
Well, these are the things that we could possibly teach them.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to go to our very first break and we will see you on the other side.
Yep.
But a sickness wall and crack and they just build this house.
Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack because I rot in steel.
I guarantee fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and lead. And then over time you start to rotten. And just like a flower wall crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and a crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and energy limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipments. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Thank you.
we are back. What I would like to do now, we're back to Nailed It, by the way. I should keep saying the name.
Nailed
of
the, It.
Yeah, people think that's lovely, and I love it. I love it myself. But I also would like to give out phone numbers and text numbers and all that kind of stuff so we could get some people calling in to the show. So you could call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 or toll-free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. You could text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-4796, powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You could also listen to us on TV on Cable Bahamas 969 or BT Float Channel 612. Streaming live audio and video on Guardian Talk Radio. So phone numbers again, 325-4259, 323-6232, 325-4316, text line 422-4796. All right, now that we've got that out of the way. Okay. The other day, I wrote a list of the topics that we've spoken of since the very first show that we've done, right? So that we know what we covered and we know what we still need to cover.
Right.
And there was one time that I couldn't remember it for anything. And I asked Leonard what was, and he couldn't remember it either. So I contacted the office and come to find out, guess what? If you would like copies of the podcast that we've done to date, and I think there's nine of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually contact our office at admin@BahamianContractors.com. The number is 356-8850, and Donna Grimes McKenzie is our administrator.
Hi, Donna.
Yes. Hi, Donna. You're such a doll. She puts up with me. I can be a pain in the butt. I know that.
Love you, Donna.
Yeah. So you can do that. And that way, if you have any questions about some of the things that we've talked about, or if you would like to get in touch with some of the persons that we've had on, because we've had, I think there's only two shows that we've done where we didn't actually have a guest on.
Right.
So that way, if you need to get in touch with them, you can also get in touch with them as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then so another thing that has been kind of in the news, but more, I guess, phone calls and emails and that kind of stuff to us, persons contacting us with regard to contractors. And, you know, it's got to be a two-way street, you know.
It seems like
the contractors are it, and the client is, you know, the one.
The victim.
The one, no, yeah, the victim, but the one saying that the work is no good and all that kind of stuff. And, and you know, we had consumer protection on last week as well. So we know that it's an even keel kind of thing, right?
Right.
But I had a lady call me. She didn't actually call me. She sent me an email yesterday, and I asked her if she could give me a number so that I could have a conversation with her, because she was wanted to know about ending a contract and an inspector that like a bank inspector kind of person that could come and take a look at the work, you know, to assess what needs to be done and what needs to be paid for and what hasn't been completed and all that kind of stuff yet.
Right.
And as we were having the conversation, I said, asked her, what are some of the things that are wrong? Because, you know, there's a lot of things that may not be wrong. I mean, some people get a contract that basically says, I'll build your house for $100,000. My name is such and such, and that's it,
right? It's
done. Some people get a proper, you know, 5 or 6 page document. Some people, if it's a huge job, you're going to have like 100, 200 page
pages,
document,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which outlines everything.
Right.
So, you know, I wasn't really sure. And she said, well, the first thing that bothered me was when the foundation was being poured, the columns at the front of the house are rectangles, but he poured them round. And I said, well, why would he pour them round? I said, you know, maybe did he look at the plan? Maybe he didn't see that they were rectangles, right?
Right.
Maybe he wasn't aware of this. And again, I don't know what the situation was, right? And then there was a couple other things that she said. The architect and designer had designed the front entry so that they mirror image each other. The doors would be it lining up on the same place. One was a mechanical room, one was a powder room. She says, but, you know, the door is supposed to open in the powder room, but she says it doesn't open in because the bathroom wasn't made the right size.
Right.
It's 7 inches less wide than it was supposed to be.
Well,
So, I didn't know and again,
how
to, wow. Again, I said, and she said, well, you know, I have seen times when he had somebody else there with him, guiding him and stuff. So, again, that's one of the things that, again, the reason we need to make sure, and I say this to everybody, if you have a problem with the construction and the contractor, the work that's being done, the quality of work that's being done, the only way to get that better is for us to have licensed contractors.
Yes. Yes.
And please, if you have called the show, if you have complained about something, if you have a situation that you're dealing with and, you know, we've been able to guide you or you've already done most of everything on your own, write, don't talk, write your member of parliament.
Right.
And ask them to please, because the customer needs to have some kind of protection.
Right.
Now, the customer has no kind of protection
because
they're not hiring licensed contractors. They are hiring a person that has a business license that says they are a contractor.
Yes.
So please write your member in parliament and please ask them to ensure that the customers, if they're not so concerned about the contractors, let's be concerned about the customers. Let's be concerned about the banks that are lending those people money.
And the misrepresentation of the craft, too. Mm-hmm. To have persons out there who would work with a contractor for so many years and then all of a sudden they branch out, get a business license and feel that they can take on the same type of jobs.
Right.
And it's a disservice that you're doing to the whole contractor community.
Correct.
And so, I mean, we have BTVI. Mm-hmm. I have an uncle who did every course, plumbing, tiling. Mm-hmm. He built his own house. It took him years. I mean, he's still probably building.
Well, most of us take it years. It takes us years because we need to get the money.
Right.
And we have
right.
to do it. We have to peck at it.
Right. But imagine that somebody able to go to the bank, able to qualify, they get a contractor who they know. Mm-hmm. I think also the banks have different contractors, I presume.
They don't do the list anymore.
That's a regular regulatory action that has to be taken at some level, even if it is, like you say, from the BCA standpoint, that they're verified, right? Somewhere to verify so that we can protect the consumer.
Well, you know, back in the day, again, dinosaurs.
Pterodactyls.
You know, you got to laugh, right? But back in the day, First Home was one of the major banks that was lending money for, you know, new home construction. And there was Finco and Barfinco as well. And it was the contractor, I've said it 1,000 times, the client and the bank. So all three had a vested interest in making sure that that job came to fruition.
Yes.
2009, one of the bank, $9 million contractors walking away from projects and all that kind of stuff. And they decided, you know, we're not going to do that anymore. Mm. We're going to have the bank and the client will have a contract.
Wow.
The client and the contractor will have a contract. But they're not joined.
Yep.
So you know, the bank has eliminated the contractor.
Right.
And the biggest problem with that is if the client decides not to sign the document to release the funds, even if somebody, their inspector has said to release the funds, they give the funds to the client.
To the client.
Wow. Thank you very much. That happened to me.
Wow.
So I'll never work with a client who works with a bank any ever again because of that.
So the contractor is basically eliminated out of that relationship.
Totally. So what ends up happening at the end of the day is if the client decides to not work with the contractor anymore, you have to make sure that that client will actually continue with the mortgage.
Well, that's the thing, Donna. We have so much incidents happening.
I'm Debbie.
Sorry. Hi, Donna.
Both of us are these.
No, but Debbie, for real, with the contractors not being up to par, That's a problem.
We all had to start somewhere, but most of us do our due diligence and continue to learn.
Yes.
And these days we have no excuse because you have YouTube.
I understand.
Worst case scenario, you have YouTube, right?
Yeah. But even then there's some missteps because billing codes are different, right? So you have to really know, the contractors have to know first the billing code. What am I going to offer this contractor
in his office or her office should have a copy of the building code.
But that should be before they get the license. I'm just saying that. Well, there has to be some criteria along with getting a contractor's license because of the risk.
Once the board is chosen and the office is set up, if a client has a problem, they can go to the board. The board would send an inspector. The inspector would do an investigation and make a report.
Absolutely.
And either the client would be... no, you're wrong. This is incorrect. Or the contractor is, you need to do this, this, and this. And if you don't do this, you lose your license, or you would get fined, or that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But we need.
There's no penalty.
We have a 2-year. Everybody gets grandfathered in.
Right.
And then from there, you have 2 years to educate yourself. And or we have an opportunity as the Contractors Association, because we have the courses already done, to actually do courses and educate persons so that they can pass, so that they can qualify,
right.
So that we are actually introducing to clients contractors that we feel confident in.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But unless that happens, it's like the wild, wild west, and we need to eliminate that because too many people are wanting to build a house. But at the end of the day, they're going, do I really want to do this when I hear all of these stories?
Yeah.
And then they say, it's okay.
Yeah.
I found the right guy. He's my husband's brother's
son, cousin,
nephew's
probably,
best friend.
Yeah, right. And he knows what he's doing. Because he gave me a good deal. but I think a lot of it, too, like I said, it stems from a regulatory standpoint where you have to regulate it. If it's not from the bank, the Bahamas Contractors Association have to try to force enough to put the tools together to garner the support, meaning embrace the contractors. If you don't know something, come to us. And we have to have the enforcement from the legislative to be able to get that done. I feel that they should be a part of it, because you're talking about this stemming from a small thing, right? I don't call it small, but stemming from a disagreement to somebody could get hurt, because I'm spending $150,000, right, on my house minimum, and you're going to come to the house to mess it up. So I could see that relationship with the contractor being eliminated because of bad jobs. But then there are good contractors too out there who are doing tremendous work, and they could also make mistakes. But there's also that insurance liability that the certified contractor could garner.
But you never hear people calling in saying about this amazing contractor they had. Hey,
no, they never talk about
right.
that.
They don't talk about that. Anyway, it is what it is, right? So I just wanted to also let everybody know who's listening that based on what we were just talking about, the Consumer Protection Commission Bahamas was on last week,
right?
And they were talking about basically it's construction month, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they have on their Facebook page, they have a survey that they would like you to answer. They have a question that they want you to answer, yes or no, right? And it's basically, at the end of the job, if I'm not satisfied with the work, should I pay my contractor, yes or no? And it says you can give a reason why, or you don't have to, right? But I would like, if anybody does answer that, say yes, say why, and if it's no, say why.
You have to
because
say why.
The yes and no's answers to mean
blank.
Nothing
yeah.
when, if you don't know that.
Right.
Because
right.
you could just it could be just vindictive because somebody you know that was, you know, in a situation.
Yeah, people are gonna play on that too.
But still, I think you know what? I'm glad that they did it because they our stories.
Yeah.
And they are the ones who are actually can go in and deal with it. Like they said, they collected $170,000 remuneration
right.
for the work that they did rather than having to go to court, because right. these things should not go to court.
Right. They shouldn't have to.
Truthfully, it really shouldn't have to.
When
you're working for somebody, you should be able to run into them in the grocery store and go, hey, yay, it's nice to see you, right?
Yeah.
Instead of having to go down the other aisle, right? Yeah. And it's sad, but you know what? It is what it is. We just have to do whatever we can do to possibly change, adjust, change everybody's mindset, I think, is the main thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nobody's out to get you.
Right.
If somebody doesn't know, they don't know.
Right.
Right? But if, again, Leonard did a thing on how to choose a contractor.
Right.
First of all, find out about themselves, about them. Investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Find out what jobs that they've done.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Find out what kind of training they've had.
Right.
Right. How long have they been in the business?
Right.
There's so many things that you really need to ask And even ask them to show them your their contract that they're going to give you.
Well, right? It's a job interview, right? So you just set it up the same way. When I have a person come in for a job interview, they have to have a clean police record. Mm-hmm. They have to have certain criteria. Right. They have to have a certain, I see their schooling, where they went to school, what qualifications or skills they have. So you set it up like that. And I think a form, right? You could you could do a simple form to the contractors should know that this is going to come at them when they're going for a job, that there's going to be an interview. Here are the points that we want to satisfy before we engage you. Mm-hmm. And these points have to be met. And I could choose based on that.
Well, then we would need to be the ones to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Because rather than the client do it, because if the client may not be interested in all of that kind of stuff,
saying? But Donna, I'm saying, Debbie, I'm saying, Donna's in my head.
That's all right.
Debbie, I'm saying, if the consumer, the home builder, right, they're soliciting a contractor and they want to know that the contractor is a good one.
Right.
I'm just saying these are some basic questions. They don't have to have the form per se, but these questions should be answered. Here are the things, and other than the BCA making up the forms,
and this is
make sure that the clients,
but
they
this
know.
This is what you should look for, and if you don't look for it, then I don't want to work with you, and I don't want to have you build for me.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
These are things that should be common practice.
And on top of that, if I'm an honest contractor, I'm going to volunteer information so you get to know me.
Correct.
Yeah.
We are back in a few minutes. We have another break.
All right.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the outhouses.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing that break up wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP.
Say goodbye to rust forever.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Yes, so we are back, and all right, so we've talked about a bunch of different things. What I'd like to do is, last week when Stone Oak was here talking about their show that they're going to be doing in March or April, they were a number of persons who do solar supply and installs, who are going to be doing presentations at the thing as well. And one of the things that we joked about is, you know, when somebody is, and again, our show is all things construction,
right.
So I'm not just bringing it up, you know, out of the blue kind of thing. So one of the things that when somebody calls, they'll say that they would like to get solar for their home, and I'll say, okay, well, tell me a little bit. What is it that you need? What is your consumption? What is your kilowatt use that you use each month, right, and that kind of stuff. I don't know, but I have a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home, right?
Right.
And that's what they think the information that they need, right? They're thinking about the actual building envelope,
right?
Which you're going to need to look about at the building envelope when you want to go ahead and do it, because the Ministry of Works is going to come out and inspect your roof and make sure that your roof is actually capable of withstanding the rack and the solar panels on your roof, right? So you have to make sure of that too. But most people don't know, and of course you wouldn't know. Would you, if you're a banker or a lawyer, or if you own a clothing store, what do you know about solar? You don't.
You don't.
Right. And why should you?
Right.
That's why you're going
to
somebody,
experts.
Right? Yeah. So the first thing that most persons are actually going to say to you is, you have to reduce your consumption. If you don't reduce your consumption, you're going to have to put the extra panels that you're going to need to run your house.
Wow.
As a joke. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because you're using too much, right?
Right.
And you can always tell that by the kilowatts, how much they use per month, right?
Right.
So a lot of people don't think about, what does that mean to reduce my energy consumption? Well, what things can a contractor put in your home, or you could put in your home, because you can do retrofitting, right?
Mm-hmm.
That will actually reduce your energy consumption without even changing anything.
Right.
The first thing you can do is put isonine insulation.
Insulation, yeah.
In your attic.
Yes.
Not on the ceiling joists.
Right.
In the actual attic. Right.
Right.
By doing that, because our attics are like 140 degrees in the summer.
Right.
So most people who know that, because they've lifted up the attic piece
and
this heat blows them and knocks them off the ladder, and then they have to catch themselves and go back up again.
We used to play hide and seek.
Oh, now if you do, you get dead skinny, right?
Oh, wow, yeah.
So now by doing that, your attic reduces itself to about 87 degrees.
Right.
Which is fairly normal. Yeah. It's almost the same temperature as your outside temperature would be, right?
Right.
So that's one of the things you can do. And people say, oh, I don't have the money for that. Well, if your electricity bill is, let's say, $800 a month,
you can pay for that
in the summer with air conditioning.
Right.
And if you do the isonine, if that reduces itself to 4,
right,
you're going to get your money back
absolutely.
In no time at all.
Absolutely.
Also, it also gives you a sound barrier.
Right.
So you don't have to worry. And people are going to say, well, you know, I can buy that. But it's only $2.37 a square foot.
Right.
I mean, square foot. So it's not that it's a lot of money. And people will say, well, I'll put the fiberglass insulation in, you know, the stuff that you staple in.
Right.
But what happens is the staple of it, because they can make nests in it. It doesn't function in our climate. It may function in the United States or Canada, maybe when you're trying to keep the cold out instead of the heat out. But it really doesn't work that well, not as well as isonine wind. It's not going to reduce your energy consumption at all.
Right. And what about sealing under the doors? Just sealing even the windows, putting the right seals under the windows and doors, so when it closes, even when your air conditioner is on, you're burning. It's working less harder if you have the right proper sealing on those.
Well,
on
if
those.
If you've purchased, you know, if you're doing a retrofit and you've purchased new windows and doors and you've got impact yeah. insulated windows and doors, they are totally sealed. You don't
right.
even have to do that.
Right.
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 What I've had to do at my house is I've had to peck. You know, I did the doors first.
Right.
And then now I'm working on the windows. I just couldn't afford to do it all at one time. But so I did what I thought was the most important for me, which would be doors.
Right.
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 So that's the kind of thing that, again, insulated impact windows and doors. You know, if you're standing by your window and it's summer and the heat is burning
your face. Yeah.
Then
yeah.
you don't have the right thing,
no.
right?
No, you don't.
Because the whole purpose of that is to stop the sun from
coming in and heating
doing
up the house,
that. Right?
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
if you're not in the you know financial situation at that time to do that, but you still want to go solar and all that kind of stuff,
right.
and you know surges and then having to buy new thermostats, I'm on my second one now.
Yeah.
Because
the heat
of that
is
kind
crazy.
Of stuff.
No, the heat is crazy.
Yeah.
I find Debbie that inside the house that I'm in now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have to turn on, I don't turn on just one of the air conditioned units in the house when I get in there from mm-hmm. from a day's work. I go inside and I have to cool out the whole, so I turn on the air in every room just to get the whole place cool at the same time. Because I find that if you have a house that has multiple units, right, and you just cut on one, and that door yeah. is not sealed, and the outside of that door, there's heat still coming in or underneath the door. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Those little seals, they're pretty cheap. You put them under the
yeah.
doors to try and seal. But I find that my electricity bill is mm-hmm. better off,
mm-hmm.
right, when I turn on all the air conditions and they collectively cool the house,
mm-hmm.
and then gradually I can turn them off. Now, if you have one of those units on and it's trying to cool, it's still
yeah.
sensing that heat that is coming in.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we don't think about too.
Well, yeah, I don't think about it at all because I'm not a fan of split systems.
Oh, you like central air.
Well, I like central air for many reasons. I want to make sure that the air goes through the air handler and takes all the moisture out. I had problems with my envelopes getting stuck with mold and mildew in a closet,
wow.
you know, because closets, you know, have a window, but you seldom have it open because your
right.
clothes are in there, that kind of thing.
Right.
I wanted to do that. So the next thing to reduce your energy costs would be to get a high SEER central air system. So I have where you are. I have, I think my upstairs is, I think, a 16 SEER split.
Right.
Downstairs, I think it's higher, it's 19. This is like a luxury for me. I never had air conditioning like that. And what I do is I keep them on 24/7, 12 months of the year, 75 degrees. And my electricity bill, the very first month that I put the one in upstairs, my bill only changed by between $12 and $17 a month.
So putting in a central air right now,
mm-hmm.
Like you say, trying to retrofit a central air, that could cost a pretty penny rather than a split unit, right? Like to put central air throughout a house as far as cost.
I guess, I mean, if you have a single story, you go up in the attic and you do all your duct work and you
right.
put it in, your air handler goes up and then you have your condenser outside.
Because I see so many persons in the HVAC world now,
mm-hmm.
and young guys,
mm-hmm.
young guys who are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think some of them, I had an opportunity to learn a little bit about it, the split
mm-hmm.
units, and I think that they are definitely winging it at some level and not giving you the right size or, you know, understanding the temperature in your.
We have a call on the line.
Let's
so
take that.
You take that?
Yep.
Okay. Hello.
Are they on? Okay, caller, if you could call back just now. We had a call on the, yeah, like I was saying, I hope they call back. Like I was saying, with the persons that are doing the air
mm-hmm.
conditioned units. Now, I think why I'm on this, even with the solar,
mm-hmm.
I think you have to have, a separate area for that? I think the call is on the line. Let's see what the call is saying, or you could answer that afterwards.
What do I do? Good evening, caller. How can we help?
Caller, you're live.
Oh.
Carly, you dropped again. You're having some little technical difficulties.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I was saying, I think the solar is a great idea, especially for our family islands. I think the solar has great potential.
Mm.
I'm just still searching around trying to figure out pricing, because then when I got quotes of solar, the batteries always came up to be the game changer.
Yeah,
the cost
They've gotten a lot less. But the thing is, what's the point in having solar on in the daytime when you don't even need lights? But at nighttime, you need lights.
Right.
So you need batteries.
Right. So in the night, right. So you need.
Because you can't store the solar from the daytime if you don't have batteries to use it in the nighttime.
Do you still have to be on grid with BEC or with BPL in order to have solar in the home? Do you still have to be on?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you don't have to use BPL if you don't want to.
Right.
But you still have to have your meter, because what they want to do is there's no way they can just continue. Everybody decides on this street that they're not gonna use BPL any longer, and then you take out all of the meters and everything and the service, and then the next person who buys the house wants BPL.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Got it.
Yeah. So you still kind of have.
Yeah, because I was wondering about that for the family islands, for persons who don't have. I think there's so much potential, especially for tourism in the Bahamas when it comes to solar and where people can build and it could create a great economy.
Mm-hmm.
If that could be encouraged more and at least persons are able to reach that mark to afford it. And I think that's a big way to encourage the use of
a lot of persons that do have the extra income in the family islands already have that.
Right.
It's just for the average person kind of thing. But let's go into the roof.
Yeah.
Because when you are going to put solar panels on your roof,
right,
you need to make sure that the roof is a good roof,
right.
You know, and it depends on how old your house is, right? If your house is 30 years old, it probably still should be good because it's pressure treated. You've got hurricane clips.
Right.
I don't know about the plywood, don't know how the shingles were on, but again, you want to make sure that you have the proper facing for your solar panels, and you want to make sure that your roof is a good structure. Now, I think when you do decide you are going to do solar at that point in time, I think the Ministry of Works actually comes and does an inspection as well to make sure that it is good. But it wouldn't be a bad idea to actually have an inspector come and inspect your roof, even like an engineer or whatever,
right,
just to make sure it is solid before you go ahead and spend all that money to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm definitely a fan of the solar, and I hope that everybody in the Bahamas could soon afford inside the house, because I think it carries us to a different level when it comes to persons being able to afford. Like, if you go on a family island, you have to put in infrastructure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put in poles. You have to cut the road to put in the poles to run the water lines. I think that solar could mitigate a lot of this infrastructure cost, and they can actually afford it if they have a pathway to actually affording, you know, the batteries for the solar panels and the installation.
Right.
You know, give them an upper hand. Even if you have concessions on certain islands too, and give them. I think that they have great concessions on solar. I don't know what it is now, but I think the batteries was the one question that I had.
Yeah.
The cost of the batteries.
Right. All right. Well, I think we did a lot today. We covered a lot of things. Again, I just want to let everybody know that our AGM is on the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Votes. I mean, nominations have to be in tomorrow.
Right.
Please fill out the Facebook notice on Consumer Protection Commission Bahamas.
Right.
And I think that's about it. I think we are just about to wrap up the show. It's been great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Dana.
I think I did a pretty good job being, you know, my very first time flying solo on my own.
I think you did better than the Lassos. I think you did better than Lassos, and you had a much more handsome person in front of. I think that had a part to play with it.
I'm not even going to go there. I miss Leonard. Anyway, Bahamas, thank you very much for this show, and we will see you next Thursday.
Debbie, you nailed it.